The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's your Daily Dose of Donna. Today is Wednesday, March 20th. Welcome to the show. We have such a jam-packed show for you today. Of course, we're going to talk all about the Vanderpump Valley spinoff that was flawlessly transitioned from one until the other. We went over the hill, basically, with that interview. We're going to talk a little bit about Kathy Griffin. We're going to talk about Dan Schneider and Quiet on Set and his response, and then of course some crazy Selling Sunset news that I just saw, all on today's Daily Dose of Donna. I hope you guys are having an amazing Wednesday. Every time I say amazing, amazing, I'm Aisha or Mauricio. And we are 2 days out from buying Beverly Hills season 2. And as we get closer to it, I realize I don't want to watch it anymore. I will watch it, but I'm so over that story and that storyline. You know, the Kyla Mauricio of it all. Like, it was so interesting about a month ago, and now I feel so uninterested in it. And you know who else feels uninterested in it? And that is Kyle Richards. We're going to talk about that in just a second. First, I want to shout out one of our sponsors for Daily Dose of Donna. This episode is brought to you by Dr. Motion Socks, and I want to honestly tell you my review, okay? So I am I need to fix my eyebrows is really what I'm doing. Hold on. Let me use you guys as a mirror. Okay. I am an active person. As you guys know, I go to the gym 6 to 7 days a week. I work out almost every single day. And when you work out, when you exercise, you need a good pair of shoes and you need good socks. And I discovered Dr. Motion socks, and they are compression socks, which when you think of compression, you think of like older people, right? That need compression socks for a variety of reasons. But actually, there's so many benefits for compression socks when it comes to like inflammation, circulation, varicose vein preventive, prevention. Like, there's a lot of different reasons, traveling, and they have so many different kinds. They have like short socks, mid, you know, like crew, which is like the popular style right now. Do you know that? The popular style is like that 80s vibe where you kind of like scrunch up your socks on your pants. And then, of course they have like knee length and full tights. So go to drmotionsocks.com to check them out. I just wore a pair this morning. I even told Lance about them because I was like, this is a dream for anyone that has sensory issues about like seams and stuff. It just fits on your foot and it gives your foot a nice hug. And it doesn't like move around in your shoe. So S. Aaron says compression socks are a blessing for runners and walkers. I didn't really realize it until I owned a pair, how important they are and how like much of a difference it makes. So trust me when I tell you, Dr. Motion Socks is a great brand. I just started working with them and I'm really, really loving them. DrMotionSocks.com. Okay, so let's go into our first story of the day, and that's about Kyle Richards. And it's really not that interesting at all because nothing around Kyle Richards and Mauricio anymore interests me. What is this? Like, I was so invested in the Mauricio Morgan Wade Kyle Richards story a couple weeks ago. Well, I guess during Beverly Hills season. And now I'm like, oh, whatever. I've moved on. Now, I'm sure we'll get back into it on Friday when the episodes air. And you know, they're airing the entire season of Buying Beverly Hills. Like, we can binge it in a day. So it's going to be very Love is Blind. Like, we care so much and then we just don't give a crapola anymore. So Kyle Richards did an Amazon Live, as she does. This is like Kyle Richards' thing. She always does these Amazon Lives. She must get paid a gang of money for it because there's absolutely no way she's doing it unless she's getting paid really, really well. Don't you guys agree? I don't even understand what these Amazon Lives are. I guess they talk about different products and then they answer fan questions in between. And then they just link to the products and it just like works. I don't know. I have no idea. The point is that they do it. Lala does it. Sheena does it. We know Paige DeSorbo does it. Kyle Richards does it. You must make a ton of money doing it. So she answered a question about the Paris Hilton clapping back at Mauricio. And her answer was, you know, I'm just kind of like tired of hearing about it. I hear the same things over and over. You know, I just finished the episode, like the Real Housewives season, and I just feel kind of done with it. And I'm just tired. Well, to be 100% honest, Kyle, you're not alone. I think we're all done with it. She says, you know, I was just like, no, please no more. I can't handle any more things. But she does say that Paris spoke to her cousins and they cleared all that up. I mean, I don't know how much you can clear up. If someone said, if my cousin said about my show, your lame show or your dad's lame show, I would be like, I would be very offended by it. So I guess clearing things up is just saying, I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm so bored by it. I really am so bored by Kyle Richards. Kyle really threw me off in this last season. And you know she's back. Like, you know she'll continue to do the show, but she's like, oh, it's just too much. Like, I'm on a show. My husband's on a show. All my kids are on a show. My niece is on a show. My sister's on a show. It's just so hard. You guys, I agree. It's just so hard to, you know, make so much money and be famous and say yes to opportunities. So hard. Okay. So let it be said that apparently Paris has cleared it up with her cousins, the Umanskis, and the Hiltons are back in good graces, but not Mauricio. I think Mauricio is not going to clear it up with anyone anytime soon. It's my opinion. Anyway, let's keep it moving on to more interesting stories because that story bored me. But I bring you guys the scoopola. So Kathy Griffin, this is kind of a crazy story. Kathy Griffin hires a private investigator to locate her estranged husband, Randy Bick, to serve him divorce papers. You know things are bad when you have to hire a private investigator to find your ex. Can she also add Kate Middleton to that list with a private investigator? Like, can we get a twofer? Two for one special? Apparently, Kathy Griffin can't find her estranged husband and she can't serve him divorce papers. So she enlisted a private investigator to locate him after she kicked him out of her mansion. But even he can't find this marketing executive. Apparently, this guy, Randy, left the former family residence at her request and has not been in contact with her or told him where he is residing or staying. And even though she got the private investigator, it's been unsuccessful. She'll make further attempts to locate respondents and will now take steps to enter his default. Though the stand-up comedian has been unable to locate Bick, he has been actively posting on X. Huh? So confused by this. Is there not like cell phone records? What's happening here? What's happening here? I imagine he probably realizes that once he gets served those papers, he's going to owe an extraordinary amount of money or lose an extraordinary amount of money. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, really, honestly, why can't we air tag our husbands? It's not a bad idea. I mean, I have Lance's location. And I actually don't think anything's wrong with having your husband or your wife's or your spouse's or your kids, definitely your kids, but like your significant other's location on your phone, on their phone. Now, the problem is Lance can turn off that location at any given time, just like I can. And if that's the case, you know, then it doesn't help. I guess that's why so many people get served in public on stages. Think about that. Do you guys remember that when that happened with Olivia Wilde and Jason Sudeikis? When he served her divorce papers and she was standing on a stage presenting something? I feel like that's actually a real thing. Now, I don't think Randy is faking his death or his disappearance because he's tweeting. And if you're Xing or tweeting, you're technically saying like, hey guys, still here in the world. Anyway, Kathy, sending you good wishes. And like I said, please add Kate Middleton to the list. And let's just do like a quick little Kate Middleton update, because yesterday was the most frustrating day of my life with the Kate Middleton of it all. I'm being facetious. It really wasn't. But as you guys saw in the comments, like so many people didn't believe that it was Kate Middleton. And then even TMZ walked it back towards the end of the day. TMZ, the guy with the dreadlocks, I can't remember his name, who had, you know, he's one of the main guys on the show. He basically said, like, you know, at first I thought it was her, and now I really don't know. Well, I think it's pretty much positive that it wasn't her. I think we're like 99.9% sure it wasn't her, because if it was her, and then there was still all this hoopla around whether it's her, she would just confirm it. If she's that healthy and happy walking through bags, whatever, there's something going on. There's something going on. I don't know what it is. I know it's big. There is absolutely no reason that they would put the entire, and now it's world. I mean, maybe it's just the US and the UK. And apparently it's more interesting in the US news than the UK news. But there's something going on. There's a distraction here that we're getting distracted from something, or something is significantly wrong with Kate, but something is going on. Because you can't explain this away by just like, oh, she's just recovering. Unless it was much more serious than it, than she's, you know, she is letting on to be, which seems like everything's fine. She's fine. Everything's fine. She's just recovering. Now, I'm not going to go down the conspiracy land of it. We have many people that do that already. Pop Apologist, House and Habit. You guys had so many comments on House and Habit. And I have decided more and more with House and Habit that this storyline specifically has turned me on her wholeheartedly. And I really, really used to like her. And then recently she's made me question her a lot. What story did she recently have that made me question the shit out of her? It was something else. It was like a big story. It was about, I want to say it was about Jonah Hill. It was that Jonah Hill story with Jonah Hill's girlfriend. Maybe it was about that. I don't remember. There was like some story where I really disagreed with her. And then the more I realize it, and someone just posted in our Facebook group last night that like, she's just her goal is to be oppositional, House and Habit. And so anyone like that, that just like wants to be play devil's advocate just for, you know, clicks and whatever, is not to be trusted. There are certain people out there that really like just stirring the pot. And I think that that's who she is. So, yeah, I haven't looked at her stories for about a day or two. Now, Pop Apologist did another part for their post today and basically said that it's pretty much confirmed that it's this Kate lookalike girl. There's a Kate lookalike, and it's not the Heidi girl that everyone is talking about. It's another one. I want to say her name is like Gabriella. What is her name? I just looked her up this morning, so let me grab her name really fast. Oh my God, my Googles are the best. Like my Google search history: Jackson Brittany Split, Sheena John Mayer, Kristen Doty. I spelled Kristen Doty wrong. Kristen Doty, obviously. You guys, I'm making a joke. Ariana rolling her eyes. Josh Peck. Like it, you guys would have a fun time just looking at my stories. Anyway, yes, her name is Gabriella Monroe Douglas, and she's well known to the sun. Apparently, she's a Kate lookalike. And according to this source, that the witness, Nelson Silva, this is the person that took the video, now disowns the video after a lookalike named as Gabriella Monroe Dunkley. He's now asked MSM to remove his name, although TMZ are refusing because they paid him for the fake video. Nelson was parked up waiting for a Facebook Marketplace seller. Like, what is happening? It's obviously all a big old mess, and I don't think the palace had anything to do with that. I think basically TMZ got sold a fake video and essentially got scammed. Like, Should we put one together? You know, honestly, do you guys have kids that you need to send to college? Because I do. As a doser community, can we put together a fake Kate video, try to sell it to TMZ and split the profits? All those in favor say aye. 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 Anyway, Kate has not been seen, found another day, another dollar short. Okay. We have to move on. Some crazy selling sunset news that I just saw pop up like right now, right before I started. And that is about Christine Quinn. Christine Quinn is she's no longer on Selling Sunset. She was on the first few seasons. I don't follow that show like tremendously, you know, back to back, but I watch show episodes here and there. I don't believe she's on this most recent season, but her husband, she's been married to this man named Christian Richard. The last name is like Dumont or something along those lines. No, Dumontette. D-U-M-O-N-T-T-T-E-T. So they've been married since 2019 and they share a 2-year-old son. Okay. So this is the craziest thing. And I have to show you guys this picture because if you haven't seen this picture, it's crazy. This man was arrested for a DV. I guess I can't really say it. Arrested for DV because look at this picture, by the way. He's in a freaking robe. He got arrested in the middle of the afternoon in a robe and bare feet. Like, can you guys see his feet? All of a sudden, Dan Schneider woke up. Feet? Anyway, this is crazy. He got arrested for domestic violence on Tuesday afternoon. Apparently, what he did was he threw a bottle. This call was at 2 p.m. local time. So this is just happening in the afternoon, a Tuesday afternoon. He threw a bag containing a glass bottle at the victim. I assume it means Christine. Missed the victim, but hit the victim's child, causing injury. The child was seen by paramedics, but not transported to the hospital. What the F? And he was wearing only a bathrobe at the time of the arrest. So this is a picture of them when they're clothed, looking nice and happy when things were good. This is not a good thing by any means. So I looked him up. Couldn't find that much information on him. But what I do know is that he has a company called Open Real. And when I looked it up, it's basically using crypto to buy real estate. So that feels totally safe. Is crypto still a thing? You know, every once in a while I'll be hanging out with Lance in the living room, just like on our phones, and I'll just get a note from him. You know, he'll just be like, hey babe, crypto's back. Like, we're not really talking about crypto. Like, crypto's done, right? Like, we're done with crypto. Like NFTs, it was a fad. It was 2022. It's gone, right? We're done. Anyway, yes, crypto is huge, especially in criminal activity. Usually when you find out people are doing some crazy fraudulent, like money laundering type stuff, it's related to Bitcoin or crypto or one of those. So I hope for her sake that she's okay and that kid is okay. And what a disgusting human being to throw a bag with a glass, to throw anything, but a bag with a glass bottle at your wife that's going to hit your son in the middle of the afternoon. Like, what is happening in that house? Now, Mark says, won't they let you get dressed before they take you to the station? That is a very, very, it's a very good question that I actually don't know the answer to because luckily I haven't been arrested. But I imagine that like too many people have gotten raided in the middle of the night and gotten arrested. You would think that he would say like, at least let me just put on some sweats and maybe flip-flops. Or maybe he was resisting arrest like a crazy person in that house and they had no choice but to just pull him out that way. All I'm saying is like going to jail in a robe, I could think of so, and no shoes for a germaphobe like me. I'm not really a germaphobe, but like I can't walk around my own house in bare feet. I have to wear my slippers, always a slipper on. So I don't know. Mark says calling the police on Donna right now to test the theory, although she looks fabulous. Well, lucky for you, Mark, if the police come to my door, I got a robe just next door to me. I'm throwing that robe right on, checking it out. Anyway, I have no idea. This was a story that really left me with a bad feeling, just seeing that man in a robe in the afternoon, which, by the way, and this is a little side note, a little side tangent. There's only one excuse to be in a robe at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday. One excuse and one excuse only. You are deathly ill. You have a flu. You are, you know, up with a fever. Or you have just gotten out of your sauna, which could be a possibility. They do look like they lived in a nice home. Anyway, I don't know. So, Lee, you're saying kid, he was 5. I think, oh, you're talking about something else. Oh my gosh, Lee. Lee says, my stupid ex-husband threw French fries at me and my kid. I left him, obviously. Don't throw shite at me. The only thing you're going to throw at me is money and a lot of it. Got it, Lance? Dollar bills. Okay. Robes are weird. Or you're Hugh Hefner. I guess that is a good reason to be in a robe as well. You know what? If Hugh Hefner was arrested at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday, I would only expect him in a robe. Let's move on. I just heard someone speak in my office, but no one's here. Really quickly, I want to thank ZipRecruiter. They are sponsoring this week's episode of Daily Dose of Donna as well. And ZipRecruiter is the place to hire if you are looking for a new husband that doesn't wear a robe at 2 p.m. or possibly another, a private investigator. Maybe you're looking for a private investigator to find your ex-husband. If you're looking to hire anyone for your self, for your company, for your household, for your business, for your friend, for your sister, you may want to consider ZipRecruiter because ZipRecruiter works around the clock to find qualified candidates for you. It's kind of like an AI thing because once you post your job on ZipRecruiter, they send it to 100 plus job sites so you reach more of the right people. ZipRecruiter's smart technology also quickly scans thousands of resumes to identify people whose skills and experience match your job. So just go to ZipRecruiter for free, ZipRecruiter.com/Donna. That's ZipRecruiter.com/DANA. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/DANA. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter find a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right. Our next story is going to be about the Dan Schneider response. So Dan Schneider responded to the Quiet on Set documentary. Now, we got into the Quiet on Set documentary over the last couple of episodes. It was a 2-part, 2-night event. I highly recommend watching it. I highly recommend watching it if you don't have Investigation Discovery. It's on Max. If you don't have Max, it's been uploaded to Twitter. Do I agree with that? Not necessarily, because I do believe filmmakers should be paid for their work and, you know, numbers matter. But if you don't have Max, I seriously believe this is something that, like, it should be required viewing for anyone that either has kids, wants to put their kids in the industry, have thought about putting kids in their industry, or have kids that watch Nickelodeon, honestly, or any of these shows. I truly believe that, you know, to me, I feel like it's a really important thing to see and just open your mind up to the realities of what's happening on sets. And so many of you guys sent me DMs yesterday about how you want me to write something along the lines of how I'll never put my kids in the business as a former kids casting director. And I'm very happy to do that. I think I'm going to take this on as like a little bit of a side hobby because I was in the room. Like I was not, luckily, knock on wood, I'd never worked with Dan. But I worked with many other people and I worked with all these kids and I worked with all their agents and I saw all their moms and I saw it from, you know, I hate to use this term, but like ground zero. I was there. I was in the rooms where all this stuff was happening and all these kids were basically getting, you know, treated in similar ways. Now, no one that I worked with, I don't think was as bad as Dan. However, there have been stories, you know, about Dan that are really similar to a lot of other people that I have worked with, especially that kind of nasty environment. The way I always look at like productions on set, and I imagine this is like in every corporation, is it always kind of starts at the top. Meaning if your boss, the CEO, or the like the head executive producer on a show, or maybe the head of a network or wherever you work, if they're giant gantor, you know, douchebags, so will everyone else. And I've seen this over and over. It's very rare when you have the head executive producer of a TV show, meaning the showrunner, the person who's really in charge, be completely an ass and everyone under them being nice. You're going to have nice people, but most people just kind of go towards what they see as an example. And I've also seen executive producers, like, I'll never forget my first time ever working on a TV show was That's So Raven in 2003. I was not a casting director. I was a casting assistant. And I worked for a casting director named Joey Paul, who I adore. And she introduced me to this industry. Like, she taught me how to cast. And the heads of that show, the executive producers, were two men called Mark Warren and Dennis Rinsler. And these two men, you'll recognize their names because they also were the executive producers of Full House, the original Full House. When I tell you, these two men are such mensches, okay? I don't know personally if anyone has bad stories, but I'll tell you from my personal opinion as a lowly new intern slash assistant, 22-year-old girl, I adored them. I loved them. They were so kind. They were so sweet. They were so friendly. They were funny. I never felt unsafe. I never felt taken advantage of. I never felt treated badly. And I think I worked with them enough. And I know that they went on to do other shows that I would, you know, I had a boyfriend in the business. So he worked on a bunch of other shows with them. So I was still around them later. And I never, ever saw bad behavior. And it doesn't mean that you're not allowed to be in a shit mood. Like, you can be in a bad mood as an executive producer, but it's the way that you treat people. So Dan, in addition to all the creepy stuff that he had around the kids with all those creepy, like, feet things and water being shot in their faces and just, like, blank shots, if you know what I mean. I don't want to say the word, but it sounds like gum. So he had not only that disgusting sense of humor, but we also heard that he treated his writers like crap. And these two women who were interviewed as writers, they shared a salary. Now, I will say this. Basically their issue was that they were hired as one writer. That's normal. I will say that is a normal thing that happens in productions. A lot of staff writers hire like two new writers who don't have big quotes or resumes get hired as one and share a salary. I got hired as a casting director with my partner, Brandy. She and I got hired as a casting director. We got one chunk amount and we split it. That's pretty normal. I'm not so shocked about that. But the way that they treated these female writers, and in one case, one of the writers had to pitch her story, pitch her joke, her storyline, her episode, her script, whatever, essentially leaned over onto the desk, pretending to be, I don't even want to say it. You can just kind of imagine. And she had to pitch her joke in that kind of way. Do you want to know how humiliating that is? Do you want to know that one time I came into the writer's room on my show, and this was not with the two guys I mentioned earlier, it was with other people, and said that I had some casting thoughts or choices or whatever, and they said, say it again, but do it under the table now. Like, basically do it right here under the table. And like 20 people are in the room, which is already a very uncomfortable position when you walk into a writer's room. Most of these writer's rooms, I don't know about every show, but the writer's room that we had was like a very big table and, you know, whiteboards all around the table. And just like every single chair was being used by these writers. And so you'd walk in, it's already an uncomfortable experience because all these people just look at you like, what? You're interrupting us. You know, and we would walk in and we would get, you know, just completely just like, ugh, harassed, gross. It's so disturbing. And I was in my 20s and I thought it was funny. And that's the thing about it is like, you kind of just, you go with it because you think it's kind of funny and you don't want to be like the whistleblower. And you also don't want to be the annoying person, and you want them to like you is the truth. Because if they didn't like me, then they wouldn't hire me on their next show. You're kissing all their asses. And so this whole idea, okay, so let me get back to Dan. Number one, I do want to read something, and this is totally off the record. So it's an anonymous, I'm not going to tell you who wrote this to me, but there is a person that follows me and I've known them since casting days, early. And they said, I'll never speak on the record about it, but I did two shows of his. And I'll leave it at that because I don't want to like specifically say. And the man was a truly awful and terrible boss. I never saw any predator behavior from him, but he was horrific in his treatment of virtually all employees. And I was in the writer's room, so I heard it all. This guy is definitely a disgusting human being. And this is the worst part about his response. He hired, and it's clear as day. If you can't see that this guy, Boogie, was hired to do this interview for him, then wake up. Like, seriously, wake up. He hired a former actor who was on iCarly, an African-American actor. And this is important because a lot of the stories that were told about Dan Schneider was that he didn't care about the African-American actors. He didn't connect with them. He didn't have a good relationship with them as he did with the white, you know, Caucasian kids, and especially the girls. So he had this actor that he hired in the past, like conduct this fake setup interview. It was done in what looked like maybe Dan's office or something. I don't even know. Dan looks half of his body. He looks like he has lost all his weight. So I don't know. You remember he's married to Lisa Lillian, the hungry girl. If you don't know who the hungry girl is, look her up. I still am in shock over that. Like, and how she's stuck with him, this hungry girl, like how she is just like, it's all bananas to me. So I'm going to look her up, see if she's posting anything, the hungry girl. Okay. The official hungry girl. Is that her? How do I find her? No, I can't find her. So she is, he is a disgusting human being, and his response to this interview is so bad. Number one, the questions are so obviously scripted. This guy, Boogie, comes in. He's like, I came to Dan. I came to Dan and I wanted to know Dan's question. Really, you came to Dan? No, you just haven't been hired in years and you needed a job. Okay, that's number one. And by the way, this Boogie guy, like if he ever wanted to get hired again, now stay away from him because he's obviously aligning with Dan Schneider and no one should. So Dan, of course, starts to apologize for I'm so sorry. Of course, I would never want to put anyone in under uncomfortable situations. I'm so sorry for anyone that had to not only massage me, but had to see me getting massaged all the time on set. Blech. Okay. So never did he get a pushback on any question from this Boogie. Boogie's like, thank you. And next, the questions are insane. Like, I actually think for Patreon this week, we should do a live watch of this video. That's what I'm gonna do for Patreon this week. We're gonna do a live watch of the Dan Schneider in addition to other things. It's because I want to break it down. Another tactic that Dan does is he shift blames. Blame shifts blame on every little thing. It was Nickelodeon's say whether or not I could do that. The kids could have told me they were uncomfortable. So many other people were on set saying I could do it or not. Well, I don't know about you guys, but if you've ever worked in a business where your boss has a lot of power, no one can tell them no. Yes, I imagine there were certain things that really went too far that, standards and practices, it's called S&P. They were on our sets all the time. I don't know if they were in these years of Dan Schneider TV, but there was a lot of, people that could have said, hey, this is getting too far. This is not going to pass. Like we need, whatever. But also Dan Schneider was running the shit. Nickelodeon needed Dan Schneider more than Dan Schneider needed Nick. If Dan Schneider was mad at Nickelodeon because Nickelodeon wasn't letting his jokes pass, he would say, F you, I'm not signing my contract. I'll go to Disney. I'll go somewhere else. So he calls out Nickelodeon for allowing things. He calls out everyone else on set for allowing weird things to happen. He calls out the kids for not speaking up to him. Are you kidding me? As a 25-year-old, I was scared to speak up to my bosses on those sets. I never pushed back. I was so scared of them. A kid is going to step back. And then you saw some of the parents who actually did say things back. And guess what happened to them? They got pushed out of set and they got told that they were being problematic. So all of that is bad. Okay, finally, then you have the whole story about the, you know, the Brian Peck of it all. And Dan, I'll never forget when his mom came to me and asked, could I write something? This is a little too late. Brian Peck was hired again, of course, on Disney. And all Dan kept doing was like, I am, you know, I can't believe that all these other people wrote letters in support of him. I can't believe that Disney would hire him again. I can't believe that all these other people. It's the most disgusting response interview. It's too little, too late. It is completely fake. And honestly, he and Tom Sandoval are in the same bucket. I have to say what I have to say. The only difference is he doesn't get defensive like Tom. You know, Tom gets super defensive. But other than that, like he has that same kind of, you know, let me like do some acting. Remember, Dan Schneider was an actor, not a good one, but he was on Head of the Class. So it's not hard for a director like him to pull out the fake over the top acting. And you know what they say about kids acting on Disney, at least it was always bigger. Go bigger, bigger, more energy. I'm so sorry. Like, bye. So we're going to break that down on Patreon. I'm so, like, specifically, but I'm really grossed out by him. Okay. Speaking of Sandoval, I think it's time that we move on to the Vanderpump Rules, the Valley crossover event. And I have to say, as much as I wanted to love the way that they would kind of enter in the Valley, and as much as I knew they were going to do it this way, because they did it this way, going from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills into Vanderpump Rules, I thought it was done so cheesy. So basically, we see on Vanderpump Rules, the episode is mostly about Tom Sandoval. When is it not? Tom Sandoval is the star of Vanderpump Rules. There's no question. But the episode really is surrounded mostly around him and his dynamic in the house with Ariana and the fact that the first part of the show is him having this party, okay? He decides to have this party with really the most, like, ragtag people. I don't know where he finds these people. Like, they literally, it looks like he's, you know, girls just want to have, this is a throwback to my favorite movie, Girls Just Want to Have Fun in the 80s, when they throw the flyers into the street, like they just throw it in the diner. Like, anyone come to my party. So that's what I felt like about this party. It's just random ass people. Now they're all doing shots. They're all drinking. Tom is pounding his Heineken Zeros and his Ritual tequila, which I find was interesting. But he's not drinking, it looks like, which is good at this point. But he decides to have this party. Now, I need to have a moment. And this is going to be an unpopular opinion. And I need to tell you guys that just because I say one thing doesn't mean I don't feel another way. And let me explain. It is possible that I don't like Tom Sandoval, which I don't. That is possible. But it's also possible that I actually don't really think I like Ariana anymore. Like, I felt for Ariana going through what she went through. And I was happy that she got all that success and everything. But rewatching the show now, and it's not just about watching her in those few months right after the affair, which is what, you know, we're seeing on the show. It's more about the after show, which was shot way later, which was shot in the last couple months. So it probably in end of 2023, beginning of 2024, Ariana has short hair. She's already at this point done Dancing with the Stars. She's already at this point gotten Chicago. So this is more recent. She at this point should not be as angry and bitter. This is interesting. Okay. So Ariana, now, mind you, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of Lance's take on this. The first thing he says is the way that the show is shot, because he sees all the B-roll shots, which is what he does on a lot of these shows. B-roll is like of the freeway or the time lapses of the clouds or whatever. He's like, oh, it feels like very dated the way that they shoot the show. And I'm like, I know something is up with this show, the way that they dated it, like the way that they're filming it this season. It's really weird. So not only that, When they go to Ariana in her room, texting with Katie or FaceTiming with Katie, talking about the fact that Tom is about to have a party. This is a clear, you know, Tom was very straight up. Like, I basically reserved my house for this party. I can't think of anything worse than having to live with your ex who's having parties on both sides. For Tom, because Ariana later has a party, but also for Ariana having Tom having a party. Like, it's bad enough when you have a roommate that you don't like, but now it's your ex. Like, it's the craziest thing ever. So now we're in the house. We're in the house and we're in Ariana's room. And Lance, who doesn't watch the show, looked up and he's like, wait, where is she? I said, that's her room. And he goes, that's her room? Like, couldn't she have just like rented out a storage unit or put stuff in the garage? Like, what's happening? Why are there so many things in her room for the show? And I'm like, it really does make you question why there is always 4,000 boxes in her room and shit everywhere. Like, I don't understand. It's off-putting for me. It makes me question a lot of it. It makes me question a lot of it. Okay. He's having this party with these random people. I would be so annoyed, by the way. And then also these girls. Now, this scene is so, to me, set up. These two girls who really honestly do not look, and I'm just going to be honest, okay? Sandoval is out there meeting chicks all the time. Okay, he owns bars. He's out there partying it up. And there's a lot of like real hotties here in Los Angeles. Like, hotties. You mean to tell me that he found those chicks and brought them and invited them into his home for a show taping? Like, I don't buy it. Something felt very off about them. They didn't even really have personalities. So, like, they just looked like so. It really, honestly, it was like, to me, it was giving, you know, enter a contest to be featured on Vanderpump Rules. You love Tom Sandoval? Enter a contest. Or, like, if you go to one of Tom Sandoval in the Most Extra shows, you get entered into a raffle to appear on an episode of Vanderpump Rules. That's what it was giving to me. He's in the pool with them and he starts talking to them. And all of a sudden, we're supposed to believe that Tom Sandoval has no game. Tom Sandoval is gameless. Tom Sandoval is like Bergy on his first episode of Love Island. If you know, you know. Tom Sandoval is like the worst guy in the Love is Blind pods. He can't have a normal conversation with these girls. I live here. Did I tell you about my ex-girlfriend? And then in his confidential, or I mean his interview, he's like, I'm just going to have to like get myself out there. Oh, we're supposed to believe that Tom Sandoval has zero game. It's the best, like, fakest storyline ever. Now that Raquel has broken his heart, he has to go out there and find a girl and he's so uncomfortable. So hard. Tom Sandoval, he hasn't been on the dating scene. He doesn't know how to do it. It was so cheesy, so bad. So anyway, the party ends. I don't even know. Ariana, if I were Ariana, I would make sure I was out of the house before the party. I don't get it. But she leaves. The next day, the house looks disgusting. I can't even get over this whole storyline that Anne is supposed to clean the house. I don't believe it for a second. I'm sorry. I don't believe it. I don't believe Tom Sandoval is that bad. I know, you guys, I don't believe that Tom Sandoval is that bad that he's going to make his assistant clean his sticky floor. I think this is for the show, but whatever, I could be wrong. Anyway, they maybe just Tom and Ariana like never learned how to clean up. I don't know. Ariana invites Sheena over. They're sitting there awkwardly while Anne is mopping next to them and they start talking. And Sheena's drinking a freaking non-alcoholic beer. It was so weird. So they're sitting there and they're chatting about, you know, him having a party, and they start talking about the Dancing with the Stars of it all. Because at this point, we know from her conversation with Lisa that she wanted Dancing with the Stars. She thought she was going to get it. Well, I got more clarity from this by listening to Juicy Scoop this week, because Sheena was on the show and she basically says that she was kind of given a tip from one of the producers that she was going to be chosen. But apparently everyone wanted to do Dancing with the Stars, because Tom Sandoval also thought he was going to be on Dancing with the Stars. Tom Sandoval started taking ballroom lessons. Like, the entire cast of Vanderpump thought they were going to be on Dancing with the Stars. It's giving, like, I don't know, getting into your favorite college, like Rush Week. So when Ariana got Dancing with the Stars, what's upsetting to Sheena is that she found out along with everyone else. Like, she found out along with us. She had no, you know, information before. And she said to Ariana that that kind of sucked. I really wanted it. You know, I wanted it. And then you didn't even tell me before, and you can trust me. And Ariana's response to this was like, yeah, I know. I can see how that bothers you. Yeah, I totally get it. But that's like a fake response, because in the after show, I found out something about Ariana that really made me dislike her. And believe it or not, I felt protective over Katie Maloney in the after show. So apparently Ariana got Dancing with the Stars and didn't tell anyone, except she did tell Logan, Brad, and Dana. So she did tell some of her friends, but she didn't tell Sheena. She didn't tell Katie. She didn't tell any of the cast. Then when she got Chicago, apparently, which would mean she'd have to leave Los Angeles and move to New York, she didn't tell her business partner, Katie. She didn't tell Katie. And so Katie found out a different way. And Lala says something in the after show, something along the lines of, wow, this is giving Schwartz and Sandy's part two, where Ariana is Sandoval and Katie is Schwartz. One of them is putting in all your work into this business, and the other one's just going off and getting all these gigs and leaving. I thought it was really interesting. Now, meanwhile, Ariana says, you know, well, Sheena's a public person, and I didn't really like feel comfortable doing that. And it kept cutting to Katie just being like, like, it makes me question Ariana as an actual friend. Maybe Ariana's just not a very good friend to Sheena. Maybe they just don't have that kind of friendship. The whole thing felt very, very interesting. Mark says, let's just do Dancing with the Stars, Bravo edition. Let's get it over with. Well, Tom Schwartz suggested, let's do Dancing with the Falling Stars, starring Tom Sandoval. That would be a great one. Dancing with the Fallen Stars. Who else would be on it? Well, we would have Tom Sandoval. We would have, just think anyone that's been canceled. Is anyone still canceled? Or does everyone that gets canceled, like, are they back? Who else has been canceled that we like talk about all the time? You guys think about it and then let me know. So anyway, now we go over to, Ariana said something else in the after show that really bothered me too. From what we know, Tom Sandoval is a jerk, an idiot, a douche, the whole thing. But he did pay for that house halfway, and he does live in that house and pay the mortgage. So like, you can call him all the things, but that's half his house. And she's making fun of him in the after show, saying like how embarrassing for him that he's saying like, oh, that couch, my ex-girlfriend bought it. Oh, that dog, that's my ex-girlfriend's. Oh, this house, yeah, my ex-girlfriend pays for it. I'm like, it's not really embarrassing. And also, if it bothers you that much, like, leave. That's the thing that just bothers me about it, is like, she's so, okay, whatever. I know I'm going to get a lot of drama from you guys about my thoughts on Ariana this week. I don't know. I'm very, very thrown by her on this. Like, I just feel like it's almost better to like release the anger so many months later. Okay. So, but who am I to say anything, right? Who am I to say anything? Okay. Now, let's move on. What about there was like, okay, we had a little party scene between Lala and, I mean, they all went to Ariana's house for the party. It was Ariana, Katie, and Brock and all of them, Sheena, Lala. And it looked like a fun little game night. We found out Brock had a threesome with two other men. Okay. And we also found out that Sheena had an orgy with John Mayer. And I'm not shocked by it. Not for one second. I actually wouldn't be shocked if Brock had an orgy with John Mayer. Just saying. So then they end up hanging out and, you know, having fun and whatever. But before that, Katie is hanging out with, we have an interesting scene between Katie and Lala. And both of them looked so beautiful in that scene. I don't know if you saw that. But they're trying to like kind of get over their issues. And it seems to me that they kind of hug and make it out, make up. But then later, you know, Katie, and Sheena said this on Juicy Scoop too. And I used this example when I talked about the difference between Katie and Sheena and their feelings about Sandoval last week, is that Sheena and Sandoval actually had a good relationship. Katie and Sandoval never had a good relationship from the beginning. Season one of Vanderpump Rules, there was already drama between the two of them. He hates her and she hates him from the beginning. So the fact that his best friend married her is crazy anyway, because that would be such a hard obstacle. And I'm convinced that that did have something to do with their divorce. But I don't think it was the reason for their divorce. I just think Katie will always have an issue with Tom Sandoval. A, because they don't like each other even before, but B, because she felt like he was a bad influence on her husband. And she's not wrong. She's not wrong. I mean, there's no way that him being best friends with Tom Sandoval helped their marriage by any means. So Katie has this weird kind of like conversation with Tom Sandoval where he's trying to break the ice. He's trying to make things a little bit better. And I actually appreciated this conversation between him and her. And I have to say, and don't at me, but like, I didn't hate Katie Maloney for the first time in this episode, because she straight up said, like, I don't think it's unfathomable. I mean, I think it's unfathomable that you had this affair for 7 months, because I would have just broken up. I left a marriage for the same reasons, different reasons, but like, I wasn't happy. And so I don't think it was unfathomable, or I do think it's unfathomable. And I thought it was an interesting conversation. I do have some sympathy for Tom. He's trying really hard to kind of like mend fences. It's just not going to work. And then we end up at the Belmont, which is a bar here on La Cienega. And let me just tell you, I will never go to the Belmont again, because now I know that the entire cast of Vanderpump Rules, and apparently the Valley too, go number two in the Belmont's bathroom. Why is that actually part of our dialogue on our TVs? I'm seriously asking this. And for the same reason, I'm going to say this. Jeff Lewis had an episode yesterday where the entire episode was about male release. Now this is about male poop. I don't want to know. I don't want to watch it. I don't want to think about it. And the fact that not only the show is talking about how the fact that this bar, this restaurant has the best poop bathroom, but then on the after show, there's a huge like 5-6 minute part where they ask every cast member of the Valley. And then they ask Lala and Brittany about like, can I even say it here? Anal? Like, what's going on? Are we getting old? Are we getting old? Maybe we're getting old and they're just all staying young. Or they're just like really pushing the button. Because I will talk about anything. Like, let's talk about popping pimples. Fine. That's gross. I don't want to talk about it, but I would talk about it. Do not talk to me about where you're going to the bathroom. It's so gross. And if I was the Belmont, I would be like, gross. Why did you guys use our restaurant to talk about this? Or maybe they can like put a sign. If I were them, I would put a sign on the door saying like, home of the world's best bathroom to poop. But like, gross. So then anyway, they're having this, you know, bar night, and Ariana decides to come. It's a little confusing why she's there, but she decides to come. And we remember seeing this with paparazzi, because there was so much paparazzi of when she walked in and Tom turned around and looked at her, and we saw the paparazzi shots. Now we're actually seeing it happen. Everyone is being friendly. Everyone's kind of chatting, and Ariana is sitting there and just talking smack about Tom. Why is she there? I guess she doesn't want to, you know, be iced out of her friendships. Okay. Now the final scene, I don't really have much to say about that scene. I just don't. The final scene is Oh, we had to see some really hard to watch scene with Allie and Joe getting her cards read. No, no, fast forward. I don't care about Joe and getting her cards read. Sorry, Allie, but I find you boring TV. Then we go to the final dinner, which was the entrance to the valley. And we know this. And I knew it the second Jax was introduced because we were coming up on the hour minute mark. And I was like, oh, here we go into the valley. So we're having this dinner at Tom Tom. It's all these besties all of a sudden. Brock, Tom Sandoval, Tom Schwartz, and James. Oh, wait, we invited Jax. Well, Jax has this like, you know, head to head with Tom Sandoval for a while. And there's just something about this which makes me want to cry in the sense that it would be like my 8-year-old telling, you know, his friend how to be a good parent. I cannot absolutely, you know, I can't wrap my head around the idea of Jax being moral police. And we all felt this when he was going around talking about Scandoval like crazy, because Jax openly and multiple times cheated on his partners on these shows. And like, why does he decide that it's okay to like take Tom down? It was really bad. It was really bad. And it's like, he's the wrong person to do that. All of a sudden now we go into, we break the fourth wall because I'm going to show you guys how Jax went from Vanderpump Rules to the Valley. You know, I just realized like, that's not my thing. I want to be in bed by 10. He gets up. He walks off. I'm just not that crazy wild guy anymore. I'm in the Valley. When I tell you, I rewound it and watched it like 3 times. This is the best they could do. What they should have done was they should have just literally followed him home in the car and then saw him coming home to Brittany, like with eye cream on her living room, you know, and sitting down, eating popcorn, watching a show. And he should have just sat down with her and been like, his crew's sleeping. And then she should have been like, how was the night? And he should have said, you know, it was good. It was a good time. I feel like I talked to Tom. I got a lot of stuff done. I'm just happy he's not like one of our close friends anymore. Anyway, let's go to bed. And then they should have like pretended to go to bed. And then we should have been in the valley. The interview scene, going from one interview, like way to make this show completely not seem realistic, right? I did not enjoy that transition. The valley. Guys, I liked the valley. I liked a lot of the Valley. I won't say I liked the entirety of the Valley, but I liked the Valley. But I do have some scathing comments. I'm really into the new couples. I liked the guy, Daniel, and his wife, Nia, the gorgeous Miss USA, former Miss USA, and their two little newborn babies, and they have an older little, I think, boy. I like their storyline. I like that they live in a little condo here in the Valley. That makes sense. She's a former Miss USA and he is a struggling actor and they live in a condo in the Valley. It makes so much sense and it's so real. Liked it. Then I have the couple that I know is going to be the most problematic are the Jesse and Michelle. They're the couple that don't live in the Valley. They're real estate partners and they also have a daughter. He is going to be the biggest douche we'll ever see on the show. I know it. I feel it. I love it. He also, from what I'm seeing, like drinks too much and says horrible things and she has to just kind of sit through it. Apparently they've broken up since. Frankie, did you like the Valley? My dog just walked over to me. He's obnoxious, but it's going to be good TV. Then we have this couple, Paula and, Janet and, well, it's not a good sign that I can't remember his name. Is it Alex? Someone help me. Who's an attorney. They live walking distance from Jackson Brittany. And we see, you know, that she's pregnant and they seem fine. Like nothing too exciting, nothing too extraordinary. Apparently she has been on the show before many times. She's good friends with all these girls, whatever. And then of course we have Brittany and Jax. And like, we have Kristen and Luke, and I'll get into Kristen and Luke and the other, you know, folios, but Jax and Brittany, and nothing has changed except for the fact Brittany, And I say this with love because I know, like, we're team Britney here when it comes to Britney and Jax. Like, the Dosers are team Britney. But Britney needs to find herself immediately a stylist. Like, and not just a stylist for when she goes out or when she does her interviews, because all I can see are a lot of things that, you know, maybe, like, it's, she doesn't dress appropriately for her body is my biggest concern. And I feel for her because a big thing that she talks about on the show and has she talked about in the past, and like, she's a ambassador for Jenny Craig, a spokeswoman. She talks about these things, but I feel like she should look, she can dress really well for her body. Like, she's a beautiful woman that's just not like doing it with her clothing. Did anyone feel that as well? The first scene that we see Britney, she's walking around with a mummy neck because she just got chin liposuction. And all I could think of, why didn't she plan to do this 2 weeks earlier? This is how you're entering into the show? With a bandage over your head? I was very confused about it. I'm going to reserve judgment on Britney until I keep watching the show. But we know that Jax is still Jax. He seems, to me, he seems like coked out. There's something going on over there. He seems like so uppity. He's so high on himself. But I do like the dynamic. I do like seeing them all together. Let's talk about the fact that Jax could not stop talking about Kristen Doty. Kristen Doty and her boring ass boyfriend, Luke, are in the show. And the whole goal is to get pregnant. That's all they're talking about. We're trying to get pregnant. We're trying to get pregnant. We're trying to get pregnant. Well, as of right now, I don't believe she's pregnant. I think she did have, maybe she is, but we don't know about it. But Jax is so bitter about her the entire first episode. He's so annoyed with her. He's so annoyed with Luke, her boyfriend. He can't stand him because he thinks that it's already going to not work. It's giving I'm a jealous ex. It's giving I'm trying to have drama with someone. It ain't working. Whatever it is, I'm like, Jax, we got to move on from your frustration over Kristen. Like, why do you care? I thought you've moved on from this drama. It seemed really, really odd. Okay, so then let's keep it going. So then they go, they have this party at his house, at Jackson, Brittany's house. We see Sheena. Sheena's just going to end up on the Valley. I think at this point she should. And Lala will too. I mean, both Sheena and Lala just bought a house here in Sherman Oaks. Jackson and Brittany live in Valley Village. James is in Burbank. Like, they're all here anyway. I don't know. I don't personally see why that would be a bad idea, because I think Vanderpump Rules is over after the season. So if Sheena wants to continue to, you know, promote Summer Moon, the Valley is the spot. But I liked the show. I have to say, I liked it. And I'm excited to continue to see it. I do not like the energy of Kristen's friend. Or I should say, you know, he was originally Brittany's friend and now it's Kristen's friend, the gay guy. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. His energy already feels annoying to me. So I'm not a huge fan of that. The Jasmine girl seems sweet. Don't know much about her. I don't know why they needed more people in the show. I think it could have just like Zach. Zach was his name. I think it could have just stuck with the couples, but we'll have to see. Anyway, it was a really, really good first episode and I was into it. And I thought it was fun and I thought it was funny. And I loved seeing they went to the Great Greek. That's where I spent my, what birthday, 23rd birthday? No, later, like 25th birthday party was at that Great Greek where Kristen Doty went. It's going to be an interesting show. I'm excited for it. Thank you so much for being here. As always, tomorrow we will talk. What are we going to talk about tomorrow? Nothing's on tonight anymore. Is anything on tonight? Okay, we'll find something to talk about. Hopefully Kate Middleton. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks for subscribing. Bye, y'all.